Oh, Father, we surely do thank you this morning. We give you all honor and all glory. You are the true King in every one of our lives. You are what we live for. And Father, I just thank you that you're here amongst us this day and that you're moving throughout this congregation, ministering to your people, meeting each and every need. And I'm asking you, Father God, to open up their spiritual ears this morning to hear what you're saying. And Father, we thank you for your Son, your Holy Spirit, your angelic host. We thank you, Father God, for all the Godhead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, that caught me totally off guard, so we'll just have to proceed here. Wasn't that sign neat about the blood of Jesus covers? I was sitting here, and the other day, and he told me to put that up there. Wait till you find out tonight what he told me to do. I can't wait about wanting to preach this evening's message this morning, but we won't do that. We'll keep everything decent and in order, all right? God is on the move in each one of your lives. He just really is. It doesn't matter what you see or what you hear, what you think, God is on the move. A lot of times God is working behind the scene and we don't understand what he is doing. And even though he tells us he's working, we can't see it. But he really is working. And sometimes, you know, from point A to point Z, it's really hard for us to go in the in-between journey. It's hard whenever you just walk by faith and not by sight. And you just have to go on what God has promised you and what he's told you he's doing for you, you know, around about you. And you just have to keep going. Just keep walking. And just keep trusting God and knowing that he is not a man that he should lie. And if he said it, then he's going to bring it to pass. It's just all there is to it. He really is going to bring it to pass. This morning, God's talking to the prodigals. All right. The father is calling the prodigals back into his house of worship. Remember, God told us a while back that the prodigals would be coming in and we would have to be ready to welcome them back into the house of God with open arms. In Matthew 23:37-39 says, O Jerusalem, this is Jesus speaking. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, murdering the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a mother fowl gathers her brood under her wings, and you refused. Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate, abandoned and left destitute of God's help. For I declare to you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed, magnified in worship, adored and exalted is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in Luke 19:41, And when Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. That is going on right now. The body of Christ did not understand what God was doing, and they did not understand their hour of visitation. And God goes, this is what God is saying, children, you must return back to your first love. You must return back to the basics in my word. As my son wept over Jerusalem, I am weeping over my people this day. I have chosen you to be a special people, a people who I will use to bring holiness into a region of total darkness. See what he says there? I have chosen you to be a special people, a people who I will use to bring holiness into a region of total darkness. I have warned about this day, and I have spoken peace, peace in a troubled world. Children, I am the great I am, and I am with you at all times. I am the one that breathed life into your nostrils. I want everybody in here this morning You might not be a prodigal, but I want you to understand that this is you also that God is talking to. It was God who breathed life into you. It was God who formed you in your mother's womb. It wasn't the devil. It was God. And God wants to be in you and around about you all the time, just not every now and then. God goes on to say, come back, little ones. Come back to your first love and receive all that I have planned for your lives. Now I say unto you, come up hither this day, this hour, in this moment, and receive all that I have for you. So right now, you know, take this personal right now. Come back, little ones. Come back to your first love and receive all that I have planned for your lives. Now I say unto you, come up hither this day, this hour, in this moment, and receive all that I have for you. My arms are open wide, and I have all the treasures of heaven at my disposal. God is calling you back into his heavenly realm once again. And he's saying he wants you to be seated at his table and remain there. Don't leave this time. Just remain seated at his table. In Genesis 4, chapter 4, verse 8, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground and from your face. I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. If we go back there to verse 14, well, let's start at 13. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. And that's the thing that really bothered Cain, that he would be hidden from God's face. How many of you fear that? How many in the body of Christ today really fear that God will hide his face from you, and he will no longer chide with you? You really have to think about that. Then God goes on to say, the souls are crying out for mercy, just as Abel's blood cried out. Who will show them mercy if you do not? Who will bring the love of the Father to a loveless generation if you do not? Who will go into the drug-infested ghettos and speak of my saving grace if you do not? Who will go for me if you do not? Who, my children, will do the greater works that needs to be accomplished in this dispensation of time? Who? Are you listening to what God just asked you? You're going to have to suffer for Christ. God is going to place people in your lives that are going to be so unlovable that only God can love them through you. But that is your assignment, to love the unlovable, to bring them into the kingdom of heaven. It's easy to love somebody that's lovable. But it's really hard to love somebody that's unlovable and be with them and love them and try to bring them into the kingdom of heaven. And I'm hearing God say, you disgrace me when you won't love the unlovable. You disgrace me when you won't hold them in your arms instead of pushing them back to arm's length. You disgrace me. I always hold you in my arms. I never push you away. But still you will push your brother or your sister away, and you will not show them the love that I showed you. or he was asking who would do the things, and then God went on to say, I will tell you who, the ones that have been crying in the wilderness, the ones that have stayed the course when no one knew they were there, the saints that stood when there seemed no reason to stand. Are you one of these? Are you the one that night after night you cried out for my glory to drop and save the church? Are you the one that did not grow weary in well-doing? This is serious. You need to really think about this. I tell you a truth, children of God. I know who the desert dwellers are, and I know those who sit in my houses of worship with their minds stayed on the darkness. Are you listening to this? God knows who you are sitting in the house of God, that you've been in the backside of the desert crying out for God to move upon the people and to save them from their own calamity. But he also knows those who are sitting in the house of God, still steeped in sin and not really following God the way you ought. Then God said, I am speaking to the latter. In other words, he said, I know those who sit in my houses of worship with their minds stayed on the darkness. I am speaking to the latter, you who have made a mockery of my houses, you who refused to come into the third heaven, but would not allow others to enter either. I have been crying, come up hither, and you would not heed that cry. You are the ones I am speaking to. You have been a stumbling block to those who need to come in, and I am doing away with all stumbling blocks. Does not my word speak woe to these? And Matthew 18:7 says, woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes. You know, you can sit in the house of God and not be serving God the way you ought. You can be a stumbling block and cause others to fall, even in your own household. Your household's watching you. And you're professing one thing, but you're doing something else. You have become a stumbling block to them, and they don't want to come into the house of God because they don't want to be like you. God says, return to your first love today. Did I not say this was a time for the prodigals to return? Did I not say that I am waiting with open arms to greet you back into my kingdom? Children, I truly wait with open arms to welcome you back into my precepts. Nothing but total happiness awaits all those who follow my precepts. Are you seeing this? You know, you took me off guard with a video. It was a beautiful video. But there were just certain things you put in there that really, really did touch me. And what really touched me the most was at the very end, Andrew carried up the flowers. I have a special place in my heart for Andrew. And I pray for him always because the enemy does not want him to fulfill his destiny in Christ. But God has a different story written. And it's the same way with every one of us in here this morning. God has a different story written than what Satan has for your life. Don't give in to what Satan's saying. And we've all been in a terrible battle lately. And I can just about guarantee that about everybody has at one point or other in the last year wanted to just sit down and quit. You know, just sit down and just not go any further because the battle has been so rough. But what did we do? We got back up. We said, it's not I that live, but Christ lives in me. It's not my flesh that I'm going by, but I'm going by the Spirit of God. And I'm called here to do an assignment. I'm not here for my own pleasure on this earth. I'm here to win souls. Are you listening? You're here to win souls, not to enjoy these great pleasures that the world enjoys. We have an assignment. Jesus had an assignment. John the Baptist had an assignment. The disciples had an assignment. They all fulfilled their assignments. And we need to do the very same thing. Now I'm hearing God say right now, the prodigals are going to come in. How will you invite them in? With open arms or with distaste? How many of you sitting here today, you know somebody that's you know, God's dealing with, but they're not wanting to budge, and you really don't want them to save, because after all, you've been so wonderfully saved and so godly, and how dare they, and God receive them, you know. You just lost me back there. Are you understanding this? It doesn't matter what people do to you. What matters is, are you a true servant of God? The parable of the prodigal son is one of the greatest love stories ever told, a story filled with mercy and grace. You need to think about yourself. You was a prodigal at one time, and it was mercy and grace that brought you to where you're at today. It is a parable of how God views us and how we can choose to repent and turn to God or reject him. That's what this parable of the prodigal son is all about. The story is about a father and two sons. While the older son stayed home and worked hard for his father, the younger son ran away with his inheritance and spent it on foolish things. Finding himself alone, working like a slave for food, and having to live with pigs, the younger son returns home, begging to work for his father. The father welcomes home his son with open arms and great compassion. The oldest son becomes very angry with his brother for coming back home and with his father for accepting him home. Haven't you seen that in the house of God? It's going to happen again, but in a greater multitude, because you're going to have a whole lot of prodigals returning at one time, and it's going to overwhelm you to see how God uses them whenever they stepped out of his will and did their evil, wicked thing. Luke 15, verse 11 says, Jesus continued, There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will sit down and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He didn't make excuses, did he? Just told it like it was. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed a fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. We need to really get back to the basics of the Bible. And we ourselves need to return back to our first love, Jesus. And then we need to spread our arms wide open and welcome those in who were lost but now are found. Those who went out there, you know, and they squandered everything they learned about the Father. They just threw it away. And they served the devil with all their heart. But then they found herself like this young man, lost and undone and all alone. And he wanted to return back to the Father. We have no right to judge anybody who has done this. What we need to do is to learn how to love the unlovable. Forgive those who have hurt us and harmed us. And understand that they did not know what they were doing. Because they had given themselves over to the enemy. And the enemy knows how to take you out. Jesus said, God said, truth be told, there are many standing on the edges of eternity that so desire to come back into my houses of worship, but they feel so unworthy because of their sinful ways. Children, my beloved children, open up your hearts and welcome back into the sheepfold those who have gone astray. Welcome back into the sheepfold those who still love me and have repented, but the shame of their backsliding holds them at bay. Let's read that again. Welcome back into the sheepfold those who still love me and have repented, but the shame of their backsliding holds them at bay. Children, be my arms and my legs. Run to those who desire to return. Kill the fatted calf and throw a party on their behalf. They were once lost, but now desire to be found. Will you be the one that I can send to bring in the lost and the dying? This will take loving at all costs. This will take dying totally to the flesh. This will take trusting me like you have never trusted me. This will take being just like my son, Jesus. Can you really do that? This will take loving at all cost. This will take dying totally to flesh. This will take trusting me like you have never trusted me. This will take being just like my son, Jesus. When Jesus hung on that cross, he hung on that cross for each and every one of us in the kingdom, the lost and the saved both. He just didn't hang on there just for the saved. He was calling the lost to himself also. And I'm hearing God say, what kind of a cost will you pay to save one soul, let alone a million souls? God said, the trumpet sound has gone forth and the harvest has already begun. Open the gates wide and bring the prodigals back into the sheepfold once again. You know, those prodigals could be a member of your family. Yeah. Because let's just admit it right now. We have members of our family that once knew the Father but have walked away from him. Or if they sit in a house where you've been serving God with all your heart and they've been ridiculing you and putting you down, and sometimes you feel all alone and you just go in the corner somewhere and you just cry because it's just you and God. There's no flesh, you know, to hold your hand or to say, I'm here for you, because they're all thinking you're a fool. But as you stand fast and you walk with God and you keep your hands in the hands of the Father, God can use you to win those lost souls and bring them into his kingdom. The kingdom isn't just for you and I. The kingdom's for anybody that wants to enter in. And I'm asking each one of you this morning to really, really search your hearts right now. And the ones you really don't want to see saved, even though you won't say it, but your actions prove it. The ones you really don't want to see saved, repent before the Father. And when I was first saved, my first husband, he was a mess. And I had to go to him and tell him I was sorry for talking about him. And I had to love him. He is in heavenly places right now. I had to die out to my flesh, is what I'm saying, you know. I had to forget what he had done to me. And I had to understand that we were all sinners at one time. And that he had just as much right to go to heaven as I did, because I didn't think he had a right to go to heaven until the pastor I was under convinced me that he did. And then God took me to hell to let me see what the people that's, you know, like him, what they were going to suffer and endure. And at that point, I didn't want anybody to go to hell. Nobody wants, you don't want to see anybody live in that kind of torment forever and ever. You really don't. We don't need to go to heaven. We need to go to hell and to see what hell's really like. And we need to see the pain, the terrible, terrible pain that they live in forever and ever. God's saying right now, the prodigals are returning. How are your arms? Are they clasped to your bosom? Or are they open wide to receive them into the kingdom of eternal salvation? You know, God's been shaking everybody, and I was surprised when he was talked about the prodigals this time. But I think he's covered them all now, once he's covered the prodigals, hasn't he? And we're getting ready to go into some of the greatest days we've ever seen. Please don't allow something that somebody has done to you keep you from going into what God's getting ready to bring forth upon this earth. The Bible even tells us that the people in our own households are the ones that's going to come against us the most. So why does that surprise you? Why do you tear your eyes wide open and say, I can't believe they're doing this? The Bible itself tells us that. Who came against Jesus? His own brothers wouldn't believe he was Jesus, the Messiah. And he couldn't do anything in his own hometown because of the unbelief. So, if Jesus didn't stop, even though his family didn't accept him as a Messiah, if he didn't stop, but he went on for, and he finished his course, what's your problem? Ask yourself, what is my problem that I can't go on and fulfill my destiny and win souls for Christ? I'm hearing God say, you have this all twisted and backwards. You think it's all about you, and it isn't about you at all. It's about the lost and the dying. Jesus himself said he didn't come back for the saved. He came back for the lost. You're supposed to be already saved, right? Then you're supposed to be a vessel that God can use to send the lost to. And I'm hearing God say, or are you one of the prodigals? You're not really living the life you profess that you are. I'm hearing God say it's time for the prodigals to come back home. It's time for my churches to open their doors wide and receive those who went astray. It's time for you to quit sitting in your comfortable chairs and wanting me to bless you when there's so many out there that need to be blessed. And like the Father told his Son, you're with me always. Everything I have is yours. But the lost don't have Jesus, and they don't have everything that heaven holds. I'm hearing God say, if you feel in your heart you are a prodigal, in other words, one that has not really lived the life of loving the unlovable and forgiving every time you need to forgive, and you just know there's just certain attributes about yourself that's not Christ-like, those are the ones that God wants to come to the altar right now, because he wants to give you a special touch this morning that's going to pull you out of that state of lethargy that you're in. And he's going to take you into the heavenly places and allow you to see what he sees.